Blog Talk Radio.
Selling nuts, hard nuts. Anybody here want to buy my nuts? Selling nuts, hard nuts. I've got nuts for sale. Selling one for five. Ten. If you buy them once, you'll buy them again. Selling nuts, hard nuts, you buy them from the peanut man. Nuts, hard nuts, anybody here want to buy my nuts? Selling nuts, hard nuts, I've got nuts for sale. Tell me your nuts is mighty fine, but I bet your nuts isn't hard as mine. Selling nuts, hard nuts, you buy 'em from the peanut man. Selling nuts, hard nuts, anybody here wanna buy my nuts? Selling nuts, hard nuts, I've got nuts for sale. They tell me your nuts is mighty small. Best to have small nuts than no nuts at all. Selling nuts, hard nuts, you buy 'em from the peanut man.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Puck Chatter Radio, the premier, the best, one of the few Chicago Blackhawks podcasts on the interwebs, and the official online audio program of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com, streaming live on blogtalkradio.com. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com, here on this Sunday night, August the 12th, 2012, 8:02 here in Chicago. Off to a stellar start. Superstar, are you there?
We are here.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic, actually. I went to the Cubs game today.
Not a very exciting game from what I saw.
Oh, God. You know what? I've been spending a lot of time at Wrigley Field this summer, and, like, way more than I really would ever want to, but it's really hard getting rid of these tickets. So I've been going to a bunch of games. I was at obviously today's game a couple weeks ago. The Cardinals were in town. I was at some of those games. I mean, it's getting really difficult to watch. I mean, I don't watch unless I'm there because I can't watch baseball unless I'm actually there. I actually enjoy it when I'm there. But, oh, man. But today was okay because I brought my niece, who's 5 years old, I brought her to her first ever Cubs game. Not even Cubs game, but, like, real baseball game.
Wow, that's exciting.
It was exciting, you know. So we take the bus over there, and we're walking. You know, we're walking down Clark, and she's I'm holding her hand. We're walking up the street, and she says, "You know, Uncle Chris," she goes, "are there going to be rides?" I go, "Actually, yes, there's going to be rides." She goes, "What about prizes? Are there going to be prizes?" Like, don't ever take a five-year-old kid, especially a girl, to a baseball game, because they're not going to get much of any enjoyment out of it. But, I mean, taking her today was no coincidence, because today, when she said, "Are there going to be rides?" Well, actually, there was kind of a ride. And are there going to be prizes? Yes, there was a prize. Today was Build-A-Bear giveaway day.
Oh, how about that?
What five-year-old little girl wouldn't enjoy a Build-A-Bear?
I can't think of any.
Well, this one enjoyed it. And then she was able, after the game, it's really cool, we were able to go on the field, and she was able to run the bases. So that was kind of like a ride.
Well, I mean, she did something that, you know, most of the Cubs players haven't done all year, so.
Not one Cub player today ran around the bases, but my niece did.
That's super exciting. And, yeah, a five-year-old going to a baseball game, I think they get more enjoyment out of, you know, eating the popcorn and the pretzels and the nachos and the cotton candy and, you know, all that stuff than any minute of the game.
She enjoyed walking into the park and getting her prize, and she enjoyed running the bases after the game ended. It was the 4 hours in between that were a struggle.
Yeah.
We played Uno with you know, like, you know, when you walk into a Blackhawks game and there's those idiots, and, you know, when you walk in the door, they're always trying to give you those deck of coupon cards.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we played Uno with. Or no, we didn't play Uno. We played Go Fish. That's what. Go Fish. The game got a little dragged on there. Like, it was like sixth inning. We started playing Go Fish.
Once again, I think most of the Cubs players were playing Go Fish today instead of actually playing baseball.
So yeah, that was fun. I was looking at the schedule. I thought that, you know, this coming August and even, well, September, I'm probably going to have to go to a lot of these Cub games. I mean, no one's forcing me to, but what the hell else do I have going on? Not a whole heck of a lot. But I was looking at, because we're going to talk about this in just a second. I was looking at the schedule for August. In the back of my mind, I don't know why I was thinking, like, I've got plenty of time on my hands to do nothing, right, or do a lot of stuff, like around the house. I mean, I just had the bathroom redone. I'm doing some things outside and to the, you know, in the basement. I think I have, like, all this time, but I'm looking at the schedule. Superstar, next weekend, we have the Arlington Million. We're going to a Bears game. The following weekend, we have a bachelor party. We're going to a Sox game. And then after that, I'm jet-setting to Vegas.
Busy, busy times, my friend.
Yeah, so this weekend was actually the most relaxing weekend I'm going to have for a long time.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Definitely, you know, a lot of people like to squeeze every ounce of the summer they can, and we're definitely taking advantage of these last few, you know, coming weeks as far as being super busy.
We're going to get to the Blackhawks talk in just a second, but and I want to talk about what happened last weekend with us in camping in just a minute too. But before I forget, yesterday, Superstar, I had an altercation with a pigeon at the Jewel Hospital.
An altercation with a pigeon.
Yeah.
What was the outcome? I mean, it's actually shocking that the first altercation you've ever had with a pigeon.
Well, I didn't say it was the first altercation I've ever had with a pigeon, but I just said yesterday I had an altercation with a pigeon. So I go into the Jewel, and I broke a cardinal rule of mine. Or just a rule. I went to the Jewel Hospital during, like, the middle of the day, and the reason why I tend not to do that is because one of my least favorite activities is people and being around people, but it just worked out that way. So I went at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, I come back out to go back to my car, and as I'm walking up, I notice that there's something underneath my car, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And as I get closer, I realize it's a pigeon. And I'm like, God damn it, you know, like, why of all the cars in this parking lot, why did this big fat pigeon have to pick mine? So I'm like, I've got to get this pigeon out of here, right? I want to leave.
Yeah.
So I put all my groceries in the car, and I look underneath the car, and I'm talking to this pigeon. I'm, like, trying to reason with him. Like, you got to get out of here before I run you over. You know, I don't want to run you over, but, you know, please, you know, just leave voluntarily. So I kind of talk him away, you know, and he sort of – but he walks out, like, the passenger underneath the passenger side, and, you know, so now he's between my car and the car next to me, and I'm like, okay, great. You know, he's gone. He gets it. It's time for him to leave. So I walk back, and I get back into into the driver's side. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm looking. I don't see the pigeon anywhere. So I'm like moving the mirror and I'm looking. I'm like, where the hell did that pigeon go? I go, that pigeon. So I get out and he's underneath the car again. So I chase him out again. He walks under the passenger side. He's between the two cars. I'm like, all right, now hang, now stay right here until I leave. So I go back in the car, get in the driver's seat, and that damn pigeon went right back underneath my car again. So long story short, finally, I couldn't reason with this pigeon anymore. So I grabbed a frozen chimichanga. And I waved it at him. I'm like, you damn pitch. So he got out from underneath the car, and I swear to God, Superstar, I chased this pigeon at 3:30 in the afternoon all the way across the aisle into the other aisle of cars. Because, I mean, as much as this pigeon and I didn't get along, I didn't want to run him over. The last thing I need is a bunch of people in the Jewel Osco seeing me run over a pigeon.
I love the fact that you even tried to reason with the pigeon.
Eventually, he got the point.
And a chimichanga.
We're going to talk about the Blackhawks. I want to talk about the Blackhawks season ticket, or not season ticket, but actually their ticket. Tickets go on sale. Next Monday, August 20th. Blackhawks have told you that they haven't changed ticket prices. They haven't raised ticket prices this year. I'm gonna say right now that is a misrepresentation of the truth, and we're going to talk about it. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know, I haven't even figured it out yet. But, we got emails and stuff like that, too. So look out for that. But, Superstar, last weekend we went up to the Wisconsin, and we did a little camping.
We did. We did. It was, once again, it was a really, really fun trip, and the river always seems to win. You know, you never leave the Fulbright Park thinking that you dominated that weekend.
Because let's tell everybody, Superstar, Block almost perished on the river this year. This is no joke. I nearly perished tubing on the river in Wisconsin.
And, you know, that's a really hard thing to do because, you know, everyone every time I say, hey, we're again going camping, we're going tubing, it was always assumes, oh, you're going whitewater rafting? That's awesome. I'm like, no. No. This is a 2-mile-an-hour, 3.5-hour lazy river.
But yet somehow Block managed to turn lazy tubing into whitewater rafting.
Right, right.
Were you there when I had to be pulled out of the river?
I'm sure I was. I don't know if I was in any state of mind to be paying attention to what was happening to you, but
I was so drunk that I literally had to be pulled out of this river. Basically, for the people that weren't there, which is all of you, except for you, Superstar, and maybe a couple other people, we were tubing, and, you know, nobody's got rain this year. So, like, the river is low in spots, and then it's kind of, you know, I mean, if you hit, like, there'll be rocks and stuff, but the river was actually kind of fast. And our group is all of our tubes are sort of tied together. And, you know, it was a couples trip this year, which is interesting because I guess you and I qualify as a couple. We've slept in enough hotel rooms together that we just barely nipped in under the qualification there.
Yeah.
But we're all tied up, you know, with the rope or whatever it was. And I'm bringing up the rear and I get caught on a rock and you guys are all sort of in this fast stream of water and the twine just snaps and off you guys go. And there was no attempt to stop and wait for Block. None. We're like a mile from the ending point, and there's just no attempt to, hey, we should stop. And it wasn't just you guys, because there's all these other groups that are flying past me, And not one of them, not a one of them, said, hey, you know, let's give that guy a hand. I was a mess because we were up, God, and Thursday night we were up to, what, 4 in the morning. Friday night we were up till 5 in the morning. I think I was texting someone at like 5 in the morning on Friday morning, and then we get up at like 9 to go on the river. I mean, it was, and then we were drinking those grotesque Jello shots that were like 75% liquor and 25% Jello. Whoever had that idea.
Yeah, the Jello shots this year, and I'm trying to explain to the people who weren't on the trip about these Jello shots. And it's actually hard to describe the disgusting taste in your mouth. It was essentially a gelatin vodka shot. That's basically it. You know, you think, oh, Jello shot, I'll get a little flavor of some strawberry or some orange. You'll get a flavor of something other than vodka. No, not meat. They were still red, green, and, you know, purple and orange, but... Yeah, it was just, you know, I think it was orange vodka that they just somehow gelled and decided it would be a good idea to pass them out to people.
So when I finally roll into the end point, which, Superstar, I'll be honest with you, there was one point when I was drifting off on my own and bumping into things and getting caught on other things, there was one point where I stopped and I thought, you know what? What if I just take this river and float into Minneapolis, St. Paul, and just take a plane home? I mean, the river has got it. I mean, so if it's a river, it's got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to connect to Minneapolis, St. Paul at some point. So that actually crossed my mind. But I get into the area where the drop-off is, where you're supposed to, you know, come out of the water and everything. I came out of the water... I don't know. I still had my hat on. I didn't lose my sunglasses, which were my lady sunglasses that I talked about the last time we did a show. I brought those on the river with the intent of losing them, and I still have them, and I'm still wearing them walking around downtown. These glasses were meant to be. I actually brought them to the field today. I was meant to be Kelly McGillis hot. I made it out of the river with my hat, my glasses, my swimming trunks, but I lost my tube. I somehow got detached from my river shoes, and I literally had to be pulled out of the river. I was saved by a gallant young man who thankfully was larger than I, and he was able to pull me out of the river. Because, Superstar, I wasn't getting out of there on my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I also had issues getting out of the river. You know, everyone, we get as a group to the stopping point, and at that point, everyone's pretty motivated, right? Like, you're done, let's get the F out of here and, you know, take showers and continue the debauchery. Well, I was having no part of it either. I just laid there. And they literally dragged the whole, you know, concoction of tubes and coolers over to the side. And after about 30 seconds of them screaming at me to get up so they can continue this process, I finally obliged and I stood up and I proceeded to get hit with the current and fall right on my face. You know, I caught myself. There was no bodily damage. But so then I stand up and I kind of turn around like, whoa. And then the current hits me again. I fall right on my ass. And the guy who's working the ramp there goes, yeah, I saw that coming. So I was like, thanks, dude. And then you make an awful trip because when you leave the river, you know, you have to go up this giant hill.
Ridiculous.
And that's just to get, like, back to street level. To return the tubes, you have to go up even a more ridiculous hill. It is pretty much the most miserable. From the time you get out of the river to the time that you get back to your campsite and get ready to take a shower, it's the most miserable 15 minutes of the entire trip, other than the 6.5 hour drive home.
Well, speak for yourself. You were asleep the entire time.
Yeah, well, you know, I can confirm
that we nearly died 3 times on the way home.
And luckily, I was only awake for one of them.
Next year, we are doing, like we told the lady at the bar on Thursday night, we are stopping in the Dells on the way home. Or we're getting someone else to be in the car that can drive.
Or we're just flying.
Or we're flying. Oh.
There was actually talk from Kinky over there at RadioSlows.net. There's a different location, and it looks like it's on the Wolf River, and I think it's only about, in the map, it only looked like half an hour west of Green Bay. But that trip is only like 3.5 hours away. So
I've been there before. I know what you're talking about. Speaking of Tink, thank you for reminding me. So I am saved from death on tubing on the river, right? And I barefoot, I walk back to the campsite. And, like, a half hour later, I get put in front of a microphone to do a radio show.
Yeah, I have not listened to it. I don't plan on listening to it.
I don't suggest that anyone listens to it because the first problem with this show was that, forget about what Tinky over there at RadioExposed.net says, the first problem with this show is that I'm standing there, and I actually had notes in front of me because I knew the state of mind that I was going to be in by the time. If we're doing this next year, we have to do the show on Friday night. It can't happen on Saturday just because it doesn't work. But I knew the state of mind that I was going to be in, so I wrote down notes and everything, and I'm standing there, you know, because when we pulled into town and we found that grocery store, I bought a notepad, and I was jotting down notes on Friday. And I'm standing there with my notes, and I'm like, all right, you know, here we go. And for whatever reason, all, like 3 or 4 girls just keep coming up to me and just start talking to me in the middle of the show. In fact, if you listen to it, and I don't suggest anybody does. I really do not. I really would. I implore you to stay away from that show. But
show. They do great work. Just skip this episode.
The river trip. Don't listen. Otherwise, you can listen to RadioExposed.net, but don't listen to the show. You can hear me having conversations with other people off the air, and that's like that sight of girls that kept coming over, and I don't know why they picked me. Maybe it's because I was standing and everybody else was sitting, but they just keep coming over and talking, having conversations. I just gave up. I just like, I can't do this anymore, so I just started drinking more heavily.
Yeah.
And well, as the show went on, you heard less and less of me, I think. Yeah. I listened to, like, the first 15 minutes of it, and I honestly didn't remember much of it. And then I started listening, I'm like, oh, God, I remember this.
for those who are like, oh, they're probably overreacting, blah, blah, blah. Let's put it this way. Between Tinky, Block, and Superstar, and then the fourth member, which was Ray's brother-in-law, Bob, Tiki's brother-in-law, Ray, I think at one point or another, all of us fell asleep at some point during their show. I literally just sitting there falling asleep while people are talking. And, I mean, Tiki is guilty of it too, and it's his freaking show.
He was asleep, like, pretty much right after the intro.
Yeah. He didn't even laugh long. But yeah, it was once again another successful trip. I mean, we all made it home alive, barely, but we're home and all back to our normal lives.
want to talk about a couple of news items. Actually, just before we went on the air, I was going through some emails and some notes and stuff like this and looking at the news. Cristobal Huey. You may have heard the talk of Cristobal Huey was saying that he wanted back in the NHL. He was willing to be a backup. I don't think that necessarily out of the question, but for now, Cristobal Huey has signed a 4-year contract with a team in the Swiss League. But now, Cristobal Huey was in the Swiss League last year, but he was in the Swiss A League. He just signed a 4-year deal with a team in the Swiss B League. Very interesting. Cristobal Huey is 37 next month. I believe September 2nd. Don't I have it in front of me? September 2nd off the top of my head is September 3rd. September 3rd. Yeah, I'm just reading the news release. It says four-year deal. Who knows how ironclad it is? It could be a very easily breakable deal. I would assume it is. Swiss B League. They're not going to have an ironclad contract on the guy. It's Luzanne, who was in the finals of the Swiss B League last year. And actually lost. They were actually the best team in the Swiss B League last year, but they lost in the finals. Now, over in Europe, if the champion of the B League would then move up into the A. But since Luzanne lost in the finals of the B League championship, they remain in the B League. So, interesting choice by him. Really good numbers in the A League. I don't know why it's rather confusing to me, but I guess he got big money. Four years guaranteed, if that's what he got. I mean, again, it's fishy to me. I think it's probably, I don't know. I don't want to say because I just read it, but it's weird. It's definitely weird. All right, I want to talk about these Blackhawks because we don't want to do a really long show tonight. I want to talk about Blackhawks season tickets go on sale August 20th, right? And you know how the Blackhawks, they came out a little while ago, actually. I remember this. I can't find it. But they came out and said that they're not going to raise – season ticket holders actually had their prices – their prices went up. But individual sales, the Blackhawks want to be able to say that the single game individual seats – they claim weren't raised this year, right? Because if you look at it, which I am going to try to do right now, yes. Let's start with standing room. Standing room tickets this year, single game, $27. Last year, single game, $27. Now, the difference this year, in the past, one thing that John McDonough brought over from Cubs land with individual game sales was the idea of a regular season game, an ordinary regular season game, and then a premium regular season game. Now, premium would mean a Friday night game, a Saturday night game against any opponent, and then anytime you play a marquee opponent, whether it be the Rangers, the Red Wings, on any night of the week when you're playing a marquee opponent or any Friday game, any Saturday game would be premium games, right? Well, last year on the schedule, there were, excluding preseason, which is another story entirely, the Blackhawks had 22 what you would call regular season price games or ordinary price games. And then they had an additional 19 games that were classified as premium games. Now, the difference there last year, if like the cheapest seats outside of your standing room were in the United Center last year were $45. Individual game sales, $45 for a regular a Tuesday night against Columbus, right? But if you were to see the Red Wings on a Tuesday night, or you were to see Florida on a Friday night, that would be a premium game, and instead of paying $45, you were paying $54. And you go on down the line, you know, 60 versus 72, 105 versus 120, all the way up to 100-level tickets, which would be, you know, and these aren't, well, basically most of the 100-level would be 135 versus 155 for a premium game. This season, the Blackhawks have eliminated the regular or ordinary games, and now every single game is a premium game. So they can say, well, oh, well, we didn't raise ticket prices, but actually you did, because for 22 games last year that weren't premium are going to be premium this year, which is, I mean, it's a significant bump. I mean, you're talking about, the last numbers that I heard as far as the numbers that are kept back or a percentage that aren't season tickets are, I mean, I think it's Sunday night. I don't want to do math in my head. I don't know. I think it's like 16%, 17%. So it's like it's not a big percentage of the house, and that doesn't include standing room. It's not a big percentage of the house, but it's still a significant change.
Where do the Hawks rate as far as ticket prices for single game seats in the league? I mean, you'd have to figure, you know, like the Ranger tickets would, you know, be higher, but overall, I'd have to say they've got to be in the top five, right?
You know what? The last time I looked, they actually weren't in the top five. They were 10th, I think. I mean, you'd be surprised. But, I mean, with this year, it's got to go up because, I mean, the cheapest seat in the building now. Now, we're talking seat, not standing room. Standing room will remain $27. But your cheapest seat in the building now is $54. Now, I think that's a significant story because one of the things that for season ticket holders that have been around for a while, like my seats. Like we were grandfathered in for when we came, you know, after the lockout when the Blackhawks were begging people to come in, you know, come back in. I mean, we had seats. We just changed our, you know, the location of our seats, and they were giving you discounts and all that. And then a couple of years later, I mean, they're still terrible, but you know, Bill Wirtz dies. You know, the new regime comes in. They grandfathered our ticket prices, but they've been bringing them back up, you know, sort of, you want to call it gradually. Some people wouldn't call it gradually, but, you know, sort of gradually every year, ever since, to sort of get us back up to where in the past the non-premium game seats were. So my concern would be, and this is already happening, if you sort of keep track of the resale market, the Blackhawks are already pricing themselves out of the market. That's already happening. You know, and you have a team that's two first-round exits in a row that now, you know, you can say what you want. This is an escalation in what they're asking annually from their fan base for tickets. And, you know, I think the tickets will get sold. There's no question about it. But a lot of those tickets are going to get bought up by brokers, businesses in the resale market, and they're not going to be able to get rid of those. And that's the first place that you look when in any situation, any venue of entertainment, the first place that you look when you look for downturns in ticket sales or downtrends in a market or entertainment. First place you look is the resale market. And the resale market is already on a downward slope for the Blackhawks. This actually kind of, in a way, helps season ticket holders that have those tickets at a, you know, that aren't paying, like, let's just say for the cheapest seat in the building, $54. I don't, those aren't my seats, so I don't know what those people are actually paying and it's probably all over the map depending on when they got in. But they're not paying 54, but if they want to sell their tickets, all they have to do is say, you know what, I'll just sell them to you for what the Blackhawks are asking for them. They're getting a nice little profit on it, and they say, well, you know, I'll sell it to you what the Blackhawks are asking, and I won't ask you for any of the fees, so I'm actually giving you a deal. It actually kind of helps out season ticket holders that don't want to go to all the games, because now they can ask for this escalated price. But, you know, I just think that for a team that hasn't done anything since they won the Cup, you know, and that's, you know, I mean, two years of, I mean, 1 year they didn't make the playoffs on their own. You needed the Minnesota Wild to help them do it. And then last year, you know, playing, you know, pretty uninspired hockey against the Phoenix Coyotes to inflate their ticket prices even more, I don't know. I think that this is an organization that's at least as close to imploding as they are to winning another Stanley Cup or even getting to another finals. You know, I mean, it's a team that has record revenues almost every season. I mean, they're still claiming that they're losing money, but we know what that is. That's creative accounting and not so creative. I mean, it's the reality that Wirtz Corp bankrolled the Blackhawks for so many years, and that's not gift of funds. Those are loans that have to be repaid. And that's how they get to, you know, they could say, oh, well, we didn't make any money this year. Our expenses are more than our revenue. They could say that. I mean, they can say that. I mean, I believe it. But, I mean, it's not to say that they're not raking in the revenue, and they are. And now they're asking you for more and more and more. And, I mean, the results aren't there. And, you know, as we've seen this offseason, they haven't done anything to improve their team. I mean, they tried, and they pleaded with you, and they begged you to believe that they threw a whole ton of money because the Blackhawks are insecure because they pursued Zach Parise, and Zach Parise told them no. But, I mean, they haven't done anything to improve their team. And yet here they are asking you for more money. They have a contentious relationship with their coach, the coach on a hot seat, and a GM that – hasn't made any moves to improve his team in a couple of years. You know, this has a potential for the people that are paying attention. This has a potential to blow up here pretty soon. And I mean, the relationship between the fan and the people in charge, Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough, because, you know, I mean, this has prices, excitement, everything has gone up so fast that the fall can be just as hard.
Well, exactly. You got to know that they're still banking off of the Stanley Cup championship team as far as, hey, look at what we just recently did. You're a brand new fan. You don't know any better. Come in and pay more money.
I want to get through a couple of the questions here before we – I don't want to miss any of this here. Hey, Chris, do you know what's up with Connor Goggin? Have the Blackhawks signed him, or will he be back in Rockford this fall? Connor Goggin is a defenseman, Dartmouth. He was signed to an AHL contract at the end of last season. He came in. He played some decent minutes for the Rockford IceHogs. Do I know what's up with him? The Blackhawks aren't going to sign him, but I do believe that he's signed. I don't know if he's actually signed it, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to be back with Rockford. So that's your update on him. There was a Kyle Beach story on. Forgive me, because I really got to slap someone across the. Did you see that, what's her name, did her send off this past week?
What was that? I missed it.
I forget her name now. It's Sarah Kustak.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah. Everybody was sad. All right, I'm not finding it. Oh, here it is. I have to talk about, I don't normally do this, but I read something. One night I was, you know, sort of sifting through the internet and the news and things that people were sending me. And there was a story on Kyle Beach that was posted on csnchicago.com by a writer named Jeremy Lin. Okay? Now, the story in itself was nothing. I mean, it was just space filler for the website. It was just basically Kyle Beach, you know, all these other guys have passed him by, you know, name Andrew Shaw, Brandon Saad. I mean, Brandon Saad hasn't passed Kyle Beach by yet, but that's what the story was. You know, Jimmy Hayes, Brandon, you know, all these guys have passed Kyle Beach by, and it actually listed quotes from a story that was on about Kyle Beach. It was written by Mike Peck, who's been a guest on this show, that was posted on ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Now, my problem with this article is Jeremy Lin writes, this is his quote, "Last season, Beach got off to a solid start with 5 goals and 5 assists in 19 games before a shoulder injury forced him to miss 57 games. I don't know if Jeremy Lin's just a dope or whether he's just a lazy writer, but in the article that Jeremy Lin, who I would have to assume read because he took the quotes from the story on ChicagoBlackhawks.com, in the article, Mike Peck clearly states, which is the fact, which if Jeremy Lin did 2 seconds of research on AHL.com, he could have figured this out for himself, but apparently he was too lazy to do it, you know, at all. He would have found that Kyle Beach played 8 games, then injured his shoulder, then missed 57, and then came back at the end of the season. Now, Jeremy Lin probably listens to this show, and he's probably going to get all mad because I'm calling him a dope. But you know what? A dope is a dope. And this is the quality that you get from a mainstream, supposed mainstream website on the internet. Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. Jeremy Lin, folks. It was in the art, you know, it'd be one thing, like, it's not, this isn't like something like, oh, you know, he screwed up Rockford and, you know, and I follow Rockford. That's not it. The article that he lifted the quotes from had it right, but he couldn't get it right in his. Find something else to do, because you suck at what you do here.
Yeah, that's just, you know, attention to detail.
Here's a good question. Hey, Block, Youngblood or Slapshot, Superstar?
Slapshot. I like them both, though. I do enjoy Youngblood. I really do. But for my money, Slapshot.
Yeah, you know what? I every year I watch Slapshot, like, to get ready for the hockey season. Every year I watch it, but I don't watch Youngblood. Part of the reason, because I don't have Youngblood on DVD.
I do. I do have both of them. So I'll occasionally throw Youngblood in and watch some bad Hamilton Mustang hockey.
Hey, Block, you talk about your dog a lot on the show, but you've never said what kind of mix he is. Sorry if I missed it. Victoria. I like that name, Victoria. He's a Maltese poodle. Superstar, update. Remember how I said last week, whenever we did the last show, that I was very concerned that Rutu was going to be hanging out at my parents' house, and my parents were also house-sitting. I was very concerned about the well-being of my dog because my sister's dog is also being house sat there. Who's a rambunctious lady dog, killed my mom's bunny. So I was sending Rutu there, who's not much bigger than the bunny, and I was very worried about his well-being. Well, the update is that by the end of the weekend, Rutu was chasing Abby, who's a dog. You actually saw this dog. This dog has got to be, what, 15 times the size of Rutu?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's not a huge dog at its home, but, I mean, it's probably a solid 50, 55 pounds. So,
and strong.
You know,
it's like one of them greyhound dogs.
Yeah.
Her build and her strength and everything. That was my concern. My concern if she was, like, even just trying to play with Rutu, if she got too aggressive, that she could hurt Rutu. But Rutu walked right into that house, and it was like, no, I'm in charge. And by the end of the weekend, as the story goes, he was chasing that big, bad, mean killer dog around the yard.
Yeah, which, you know, hey, it's not the size of the dog in the whatever. That stupid fight quote dog thing, you know. But no, I can see Rutu dominating that house.
Rutu is very stubborn. After all, he was raised by me. So that would make sense.
Yeah, perfect.
And, I mean, he has to have his own way, which, I mean, again. So it all makes sense. But he thinks he's Hercules, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to get him in trouble.
Yeah, he does.
All right. Oh, I want to talk about the CBA. One of the things that's been happening over the last month or so is what we're seeing, when this Tuesday, we should mention, this Tuesday, the NHLPA is going to present their first counterproposal, almost 30 days to the date that the NHL owners presented their first proposal, which one of the things it included, which is what I want to talk about right now, is that the NHL owners wanted to extend the current entry-level deal system, which is your entry-level deal is 3 years unless you're a collegiate athlete that comes out at a certain age, then it's two. But they want to extend the entry-level system to 5 years. And one of the things that I found most fascinating about this summer is that these kids that have just been drafted, A lot of these kids are, you know, who aren't going to play in the NHL or even in some cases North America this coming fall and winter. A lot of these kids and these agents and teams obviously are in a rush to get these guys signed to their entry level deals. Now, on one hand, you'd understand why some players want to sign these deals is because that as soon as they sign these deals, they get their signing bonus. Now, whatever, you know, if it's $60,000, $70,000, however, whatever it is, they get it right away. So, you know, and some of these first rounds more than that. But when they sign these deals, they get that check right away. So you could see why they'd be in a hurry to do that. But, you know, these owners obviously are giving away these contracts too. I'm wondering if the two sides are expecting that there is going to be some sort of a change. And this is really, really, really important because, you know, as I sort of said before, if you look at the way that this thing played out, and a lot of people are sort of really bawling on the owners right now because it's like, well, the owners want to lock the players out because they don't like a contract that they crippled the union to get, which is true. I mean, they gave up an entire season. You know, the entire 2004-2005 season, they gave it up. They crippled the union. They got the deal they want. Here we are 8 years later, and they don't want to operate under that. It's a bad deal for them. Well, why was it a bad deal for them? A major reason why it's a bad deal for them now is because that the owners, and this is, you'd be gobsmacked to think about this, because they had a year to you know, play out these scenarios. One of the reasons why the salary structure's gotten out of hand is because the owners gave players the right to inflate the salary cap number every season by 5%. So whatever the, you know, the hockey-related revenue figures came out to every year, and that, you know, set the salary cap, the owners gave the players the right to inflate that number by 5%. Well, of course they did it every single year. And, you know, at the end of the day, here we are 8 years later, revenues have gone up 50%, but the salary cap's gone up 80%. The owners only have themselves to blame for that. Now, that's not the only reason why things have gotten out of hand. And, of course, the owners have, you know, have ultimately it comes down to the owners. But there's pressure on the owners to win, and there's pressure on them to spend money. And it's, you know, and the other major thing is that whole median and the lower limit and the upper limit. That was a big factor, too. But the point is that they didn't map this out well enough. And 3 or 4 years into the deal, the owners are like, geez, you know, this is really screwing us. If they're expecting this, you know, if this is one of the things where the players concede something, because the players are going to have to concede, you know, in some areas eventually. I'm sure that they're going to concede some of the percent of revenue, just because the owners came in so low that that's got to be a number that the players have to give in a little bit on. But I wonder if they're going to give in on this entry-level thing. And if they do, this is very important, if they do, there's a lot more to this than just saying, well, now entry levels are 4 or 5 years. Think about how this impacts your entire developmental structure. Now, you know, you have kids that are turning pro when they're 18. After 1-2 years of college, they turn pro. You know, kids get drafted. 2 years later, they're in your system. If you've got kids under 4 and 5 year deals now, there's a lot to think about here. Number one, this is a player I bring up often, Evan Brophy. Evan Brophy had a 3-year entry level deal, and at the end of those 3 years, the Blackhawks decided that, you know what, Evan Brophy is what he is now. He's never going to be anything more. We're gonna let him loose. You know, thank you for your services. You know, we wish you well in your future endeavors, but you've reached the end of the line with this organization. That was after 3 years. If you extend this thing out to 4 years, do you have a situation where, okay, now you have Evan Brophy. You're number one. You're going to make life on your general manager hell, because now you have, whether it's 4 or 5 year deals, you're making decisions on guys, and maybe you've reached a point where you say after 2 or 3 years, this guy's no good, we need to move along, or he's in somebody else's way, we need to move along. That means that there's got to be a lot more player movement. Secondarily, you're going to have to extend, and maybe this is the reason why the players are going to go for it. 4-year entry-level deals in a certain respect is good for the players, because if I'm Donald Fehr and you say, okay, well, all right, we'll go 4-year entry-level deals. But what is that going to mean? What I just covered. You got guys that are coming out. If you've got even one extra year on that entry-level deal, you can't have a 50-man roster anymore or 50 contracts. That thing needs to be extended to 60. So now, this is a, you know, in a sense where you could say, well, the Players Association would be for this, because that would add potentially, let's just say, 10 more contracts. Because again, you've got kids under entry level deals for a longer period of time, which means potentially they're in your system for a longer period of time, which means you need more openings. Because kids don't stop coming. They keep, you know, the filter keeps coming in. So if I'm the owners, do I really, we know why they want it longer. and I mentioned this in the Committed Indian a couple of weeks ago, it's because when you look at Steven Stamkos, let's just look at these three guys, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Toews, and Patrick Kane. Think about the money that Rocky Wirtz made off of Toews and Kane during that those three-year entry-level deals. And by the time that they were in the third year, Kane and Toews were already stars. Forget about them winning the cup. They were already stars, and they were already grossly underpaid. In the third year, though, you could argue in the second year of their deal, they were already grossly underpaid, because even as rookies, the only reason to go to the United Center was to see those two. It was the curiosity, and it was the excitement of thinking, oh, my God. You know, a part of it was that Bill Wirtz died, and the games were going on TV, you know, and slowly they were going on TV in 2007-08. But those kids were it. I mean, that's the reason why people came back. And then the second year, even more so, by the third year, those kids were grossly underpaid. And I mean, think about the revenue that Rocky Wirtz was generating off jerseys for those kids, asses in seats that weren't in seats before, and then playoff games off because of those kids. That's why owners want longer term deals, is because they want to make more money off those kids, money that those kids are never going to see. And they also want, you know, they want to, like, you look at, let's just focus on what happened here in town with the RFA thing with Dale Talon and Sam Bowman. Chris Burstie got a big second contract. I mean, he went from basically a minimum to making $3 million a year. And a lot of people thought, oh, my God, that's horrible. That's bad business. And so on one hand, the owners are thinking, well, if we've got five-year entries, that won't be such a big of a problem. Okay, but yeah, fine, but you're also, like what I, you know, we just covered, Donald Fear is going to say, well, we need a 60-man roster now, which means you're giving out 10 more contracts, which means you've got 10 more guys in your system, you're giving out 10 more signing bonuses, and you're potentially creating an environment where it's even harder to move players. And the other thing you got to think about, especially if you're the owners, and the players will be on one side saying no way, is that if you're owners because of a situation like with Evan Brophy, or you know a Danny Bertram, guys like that, that they're there for a couple of years and it's not working out. You realize that, I mean, there's no future for this guy here, but he's still got a contract. If you're owners, you would want, in the new CBA, a clause that you can cut these guys loose. Not a mutual understanding that, oh, you know, the kid says, well, I'm not like Nathan Davis. Like, I'm injured. I'm not going to play hockey anymore. No. Where the owners could just say, here's your pink slip. It's over. If you're the owners, you want that. Of course, the players aren't going to want that. You know, these are issues that no one's talking about. But these are things that have to be hammered out. Now the major things are obviously, you know, the cut, how hockey related revenue is done, revenue sharing. Those are all the major issues that are going to take probably until past September 15th, the deadline, because they're so far apart. And we'll see on Tuesday exactly how far apart these guys are, because the players really shouldn't give in at all on this first offer or this first counter proposal. They shouldn't give in at all, because the owners are the ones that screwed this thing up. They should be in a position where they, you know, if I'm players, like, screw you. You got what you want. You screwed up. So, okay, we'll give in a little here and a little here, but nothing else. You got a hard line if you're the players. So this thing could get ugly. But they're, you know, if you really look at an issue like these entry-level contracts, which obviously the owners want to make a major issue out of, there's a lot to be worked out there. And that's another thing, again, nobody's talking about, but that's another thing that could potentially hold this thing over, because, gosh, I mean, five-year entry-level deals, think about what you're talking about there and the ramification that has on your entire system. You know, it means, like for the Blackhawks, it means you're paying more players to play in the ECHL. It potentially means that you're paying more players to sit in the press box or in the stands in Rockford. another question I had, because we do want to get going here, was about Rostislav Oleš. Is Oleš coming back this year? As far as I know, yes, he is. Can, you know, questions worded kind of, it's a long, long question. Basically, Rostislav Oleš would have to clear waivers to go to Rockford. He'd have to do that again. But he doesn't qualify since he's you know, he's under an NHL contract and he's an NHL veteran. My understanding is that he can't go to Rockford until the new CBA is worked out. So that's something to consider because, and I'll confirm this because we just got this question the other day and I just read my emails right before we went on. But that's my understanding. My understanding is that he can't be assigned to Rockford until the NHL CBA is worked out because he's a veteran. He's played too many games. So he'd have to clear waivers, and since there'd be no CBA in place, he can't clear waivers. There is no waivers. So it might be a while. I know that he's willing to come back because he wants to make his money. I mean, he's going to get paid more money to play in Rockford than he would to play anywhere in Europe. And I think in his mind, he probably also thinks that he still has a chance to play for the Blackhawks. And who knows? I mean, Michael Frolik is, as of today, still a Blackhawk. So he may. But with Oleš, it's one of those things where, you know, he's a certain kind of player, and unless he can, you know, unless he modifies himself a little bit to be a bit more grittier, especially than what we saw in Rockford, he can't play on your third line. He's not talented enough to play on your top two lines, and he's not going to play on your fourth, so that means he's going to be in Rockford. You know, but Rockford might have to wait for him. I know you got to go, and I would like to go too because I got a lot to do tonight. Superstar, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think we hit on the points we wanted to hit on.
Sort of. I have a list here, and we didn't hit on them all. I know I wanted to talk about. We actually had a lot of great questions. But they were long, and the answers are going to be long. And we'll do a show, I don't know about later this week. I've got going to a concert on Wednesday, so that's out. I know I want to get Al back on. I want to get the Hockey Night guys on because I was looking at our schedule. By the way, last week's or the last show that we did, it was I think it was on the 26th, most listened to show ever. 3,000 downloads on Blog Talk alone, and that's not the only place you can hear the show. So, for those 3,000 people, if you made it through the first 10 minutes when Superstar was making all that racket on his side of the line, God bless you.
I apologize.
Because I nearly drove over to your house in the middle of the night. I was at the gym, and I nearly got off the treadmill, drove over to your house, and beat you with a stick.
Well,
we're better tonight, though. Well, I'm glad I didn't either, because I don't need to be arrested. All right, so yeah, I want to get Hockey Night on because I didn't realize how long it's been since we did them. I do their show from time to time, but I haven't done them in a while. So we do that, and I've got a list of people here. I was brainstorming the other day that we got to get on, including Steve Ludzik, who I keep pushing off because I want to give Steve like a day that I don't have to call him back and say, oh, well, we can't do that day, which is what I do to you all the time.
Right.
All right. Anyway, that's about it. Thanks for listening to everything that we had to say that mostly did not involve the Blackhawks, which is, I'm sure most of you why you listen to this.
So all right,
superstar. Yeah. All right, superstar. Uh-oh. Something's going to happen. Okay, good. All right. Superstar, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right, everyone. We'll be back in a week or so with a guest to be determined and a day and a time to be determined, but we're determined to return as soon as possible. And hopefully we'll have good news about me winning lots of money at the Arlington Million and then going and blowing it out on the town in Chicago afterwards, which is bound to happen.
It's bound to happen.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Good night, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care. See ya.
Dream of circles perfect, eyes within your face. My heart's an open wound that only you replace. And though the moon is rising, can't put your picture down. Love can be frightening when you time is right, I hope that you'll respond. Like when the wind gets high, the ocean becomes calm. I may be dreaming, but I'm longing to belong.
People and have to walk out in shame with your tail between your legs.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I forgot who I was dealing with.